Welcome back to Beyond the Booth. I'm your host, Cameron Capers. As always, make sure you follow on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and make sure you rate and review as well. Today, my guest is Aaron Alexander. How are you doing today?
I'm good. How about you, man?
I'm doing well. So I wanted to just get, as a jumping off point, I wanted to talk about what were you listening to in your formative years, and was there a specific rapper that kind of sparked your desire to start rapping?
Most definitely. Kanye, for sure. Mm-hmm. That was probably my first, College Dropout was my first like rap album that I've ever listened all the way through and kind of understood what I was listening to, because before it would just be kind of whatever my dad was playing. Mm-hmm. And he played a lot of like UGK and 8-Ball MJG and things like that. Jay-Z, of course. But yeah, I would say the first like real rap album I sat and digested and it kind of like got my mind working was College Dropout.
Yeah, that definitely applies for a lot of us, because we're all like growing up in that time, you know, when he was releasing like these classic albums.
Yeah.
You can definitely hear that in your music too. It's like, and that's not even just you, just in general in the city, there's so many like, just that classic feel to the hip hop here. That's why I love it so much. And I wanted to talk about, what was one of your earliest memories, like rapping or just writing your own song?
Probably. I really started off with like poetry and just mm-hmm. just writing poems. And that kind of happened really early on, probably in like grade school. And I remember like kind of like presenting my poems and people were like, oh, wow, that's great. And of course, like, it probably wasn't that great, because I'm like,
right,
you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm a kid, so I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about.
Yeah, they're just gassing you up.
And like, that shit just felt really good, though. So I was like, all right, I'm about to, I don't know, when I peeped College Dropout, I was like, oh, you know, I can take that poetry that I was doing earlier and I can put it on a beat. Mm-hmm. And then, I don't know, it'd be cool.
And so I was first introduced to your music, I want to say it was 2017. It was when you released Sometimes. And even back then, I was really impressed with your attention to detail in your music. And so from like 2017 up until now, how do you think you've grown as an artist, and how have you kind of pushed yourself creatively?
I think that's a good question. I feel like I've grown as an artist because I finally understand, like, I don't know. I've just been kind of making the music that I want to make lately. Back in 2017, I was chasing a classic. Even like my last record, I was chasing a classic, and that kind of burnt me out. Like, even I'm still kind of recovering in the sense that like I'm getting myself together. Right. Like, you know, just music became everything. Like everything. Right. And now it's more so like, okay, I understand that I have to live life in order to make good music.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like my perspective more than anything has changed. I don't feel like I'm chasing a classic any longer. I'm just kind of making what is in my heart.
Yeah, it definitely makes sense. I think especially with like social media and just the landscape of the music industry, it's like you feel like you have to constantly be releasing stuff and constantly be working. And that can kind of burn you out when you're not really taking the time, like you said, to just live your life and kind of let it come to you, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I definitely understand that. And so earlier I mentioned the attention to detail in your music, and I want to talk about some of the producers you work with.
Because
mm-hmm. Throughout your discography, there's like a lot of dynamic production, and it really highlights a different emotion that you're trying to convey in your music, which I really like about you as an artist. So could you speak on producers you work with and touch on the creative process and how you guys kind of bounce things back and forth?
So my homies, Odds and Eric, I met them in high school. So like they know me. And I don't know, it kind of all starts. It's just like for the records that we've done, I also work with, Alexander Preston, and,
right.
He came later on in the, like the Kushlov effects.
Mm-hmm.
So like when we started doing that one, he came. I guess my first couple of records, though, were Odds and Eric Christopher. And I don't know, we kind of just start with like a bass skeleton of a beat. We smoke a lot of weed and, I freestyle, and then we kind of like built around it. And then that kind of carried, that's been kind of the process from the beginning. Just have fun with it. Started off as fun. Kushlov Effect was more like business and trying to get like everything to sound like super pristine and like shit like that. But it, I mean, it still started with the same bass skeleton, and then like, you know, you hear certain things in a song, and I'm like, okay, hey, this would sound good if like somebody else sung this. Or like I'd be like, oh man, if we layered this like this, then you know this would sound good. So it starts off as a just kind of a little vibe session, and then it becomes like a series of conversations on how to make the song more lively.
Right, and that makes sense. And you said you guys met in high school, because you can tell like just from your music, there's like I don't know what the word is. I guess you get like the trust is there, you know, you can tell
absolutely
the people that you trust, and like you guys understand each other, and that definitely comes through in the music. So before we talk about the Klitschlov Effect, I want to talk about your last project, which is Memento Mori, and it came out a few years ago. And earlier, like I said, the attention to detail in your music is something that's been very consistent since I started following you a few years ago. And I think it's really interesting that the music video for Faces, which is still an amazing video, was inspired by the anime show Death Parade, which I thought was really interesting. So can you talk about how anime has inspired you as a rapper?
So I watch a lot of anime, and I think like it's one of the best mediums to tell a story there is, just because, you know, you have everything is enveloped. It's almost like it's like cinema.
Right.
Because you have the visuals, you have the music, you have the dialogue, and they all kind of come together to create this overarching story. There's something really profound about like even like the simplest anime, because they all have some kind of message to them.
Right.
Even if it's like super simple, like there's still a message there. And I don't know, I always kind of like see that message for what it is, and it resonates with me in a way. And that typically happens like with whatever I watch, especially anime, because I mean, I don't really get that from a lot of like live action shows. Like I love live action, don't get me wrong, but like,
right. I know what you mean.
Yeah, I don't really get the kind of overarching message meaning behind the writing. I always feel like an author writes manga for a reason, and then it gets adapted, and you know,
right. Yeah, and I've recently got into anime over the past like year or so. Like, a lot of my friends watch it, but I never really did. I did here and there, but not like seriously. And so I definitely agree with you about the whole like the message in whatever show you're watching is always very clear. And that's also interesting to me is a lot of the stories they tell is stuff I haven't really seen before on TV. Mm-hmm. So it's really interesting to just kind of find new anime shows to watch, because it's usually something like a fresh perspective I haven't thought about before.
Yeah,
so I definitely think it's cool that like, because especially in the Black community, people act like people don't watch anime and stuff, you know? So I think it's cool how it's like, yeah, people are kind of like showing like there's different avenues, not just one way to enjoy something. And so like you said, I want to talk about Memento Mori some more. Mm-hmm. Looking back on the process, you said you kind of burned yourself out a little bit. What did that teach you about yourself, both as a person, as a creative moving forward past that album?
I think what it taught me as a person, or as a creative, as a person, like it's all one thing, I think. Mm-hmm. I think what it taught me was like, I don't ever really want to see... Memento Mori taught me that like music was a good release, because I made that with just a lot of things that were happening in my life in mind. Mm-hmm. And after making that project, I felt a lot better than I did before making that project. Mm-hmm. So I guess it kind of showed me, like literally showed me how music was a release.
Yeah, it's definitely that's real, because I think a lot of times we can end up chasing other vices that aren't as good for us, or try to, you know, fill that void or whatever it may be. So yeah, it's really cool, especially seeing in the Black community we kind of turn to creative outlets instead of other things that can be more destructive in the long run. And so in the fall of last year you released your latest album, the Klitschlov Effect, we mentioned earlier. Mm-hmm. Before we get into it, does that mean there's a volume 2 coming, since it's called volume 1? Or
honestly, Volume one just sounded tight as fuck to me. Like, I just wanted to throw that at the end of it because, you know, maybe there's going to be a volume two. It kind of leaves it up for interpretation. Mm-hmm. I do like the name and the concept a lot, but I got a lot of inspiration from Kill Bill. Mm-hmm. And, in terms of like titling it, mm-hmm. because, you know, we never knew volume two of Kill Bill was going to come out until it came out. Right. And just like Kill Bill, they could have called it Kill Bill 1 or Kill Bill and then Kill Bill 2, but I don't know. There's just something about that volume, the volume 1, that just sounds like mad. You know, it just sounds mad official. So, like, that's kind of what I wanted to do with that. And maybe there's a volume 2 that'll come out eventually, like when I get inspired to make a volume 2. But right now, I'm not really working on volume 2 at all.
Right. No, I just want to ask that. This is a really solid project. And earlier, I was talking about that dynamic production when you're making your songs. And that kind of came through for me again when I was listening to this when it first came out. Because on track 2 is an outside part 1. They're like melodic and kind of that under R&B undertone to it. And then it goes right into outside part 2, which is like this really hard-hitting, like, hip-hop song, you know?
Yeah.
Really cool, because, like, it kind of grabbed my attention immediately after the first song went off, you know?
Yeah.
And so I wanted to talk about your the creative process some more. So when you started this project, did you go into, like, no songs written at all, or did you kind of have an idea of what you wanted to do beforehand?
Well, when we started Kushlav Effect, we had 2 songs, but we didn't know that they were going to be on Kushlav Effect. Mm-hmm. Those 2 songs were Joy and Joy and Warmth.
Okay.
We had started those in like 2017-ish.
Okay.
So like I had one verse on both of those songs. And I don't know, we kind of once we established the concept, I kind of started building out the skeleton with the music. So like, I don't know, like I spent a lot of time, I don't, Kushlav Effect was supposed to be just kind of a snapshot of my life, mm-hmm. over the course of like how many ever years we were working on it. And I don't know, outside kind of came from like, I was outside a bunch and that's just kind of how like I was feeling. I was doing a lot of hikes and shit, and kind of the lyrics kind of came from that space. And then I did a lot of I wanted to make this kind of like whimsical feeling song that felt like being outside,
right.
And like I definitely, like, I was able to work with, I think Corey Pileska in Jersey did that one, and he sent that one, and I thought that was like the perfect feeling. It felt like a real airy, the production was really airy, and like it felt like a hike to me. And
I can hear that too, even just as listening to it. And so when did you two guys first start working together?
I actually met him through Zarin, I believe. Zarin or Ghost.
Okay.
Zarin or Caleb. I'm not entirely sure. I want to say towards kind of like the latter, like when we were wrapping everything up, maybe late 2018, 2019, early 2019 when I met Corey. He was sending me a lot of beat packs. He still sends me a lot of beat packs. He's like a workhorse. It's kind of crazy. I don't know. We would chop it up. He'd send me beat packs, and we'd just kind of like talk back and forth a little bit. Mm-hmm. And ended up cutting that song. And then we ended up doing Outside Part 2. That just was like, I kind of took that idea and kind of flipped it a little bit on his head.
Right.
And I wanted to make it more harder and aggressive. That was just kind of a studio session. We were just all like me, AP, Alexander Preston. He was just running beats, and I was like, oh no, that one right there. I ended up coming out with the first opening bars, or so I know it ain't safe outside. So I was like, oh, I'm just gonna make this a continuation to like the other record we just cut. And then that's kind of how it all came together.
Yeah, that's why even I think I did an interview with Aaron Rhodes recently, and we were talking about some people who we think kind of deserve more attention. I think you definitely are on that list, because I can tell, like, throughout your music, you are trying to say something. You're not just saying whatever, you know. not really that. I think nowadays people like care more about just being famous and charting and stuff, and they're not really trying to make something that's gonna last or maintain, you know.
Not really. Shout out to Aaron Rhodes too. That's my dog.
Dude, I always talk about how important he is for the scene here. He's done so much. I definitely have a lot of respect for him. And so Alexander Preston, and you mentioned Zaire Michael as well. They also, I'll put them on a list of people who have been really integral to the scene here. Because even I was looking at this old Instagram post the other day, 2017, we had a show on Broadway at the Loop. It was like Alexander Preston, Zaire Michael, Kai Colors, and then my brother's band, Brother was the name of them. It was just crazy looking at that, like how long ago that was, and then seeing where everyone is right now and how much they've grown in their careers, you know, it's just crazy to me. And so when did you first start working with Alexander Preston? And are there anyone else in the scene that you'd like to work with that you haven't yet?
I started working with Alexander Preston in mid-2018, I believe.
Okay.
I think I'm gonna just go with that. I think that just sounds correct.
Yeah, so hard. Yeah, time is so weird right now. It's hard to keep track.
Yeah. Everything's kind of a blur.
Right.
People on the scene that I want to work with now. Honestly, I'm pretty content with the circle that I've been around consistently. I'm a kind of a closed session guy. Mm-hmm. I'm not gonna lie to you. I like a really small session with people that I've worked with, and not to say that like there's not anybody I'm intrigued. Like I like their music, but just kind of, I don't know. I almost feel like I kind of have to be in the studio with somebody before I can really like. Because I don't ever really go into a song with the intention to make a certain kind of song.
Right.
So that kind of goes the same with features. Like I really like to have a conversation with somebody first, like meet somebody first, talk to them, get where their head's at. And then if we're in the studio and then something comes about. But I'm not really like, honestly, I can't really say there's anybody really on my radar like that. But I am welcome. I mean, I do welcome collaboration.
Right, yeah. And that's not, I think that's something people have to like kind of realize is that you can like someone's music and not be compatible to work with. And there's nothing to do with either person involved. It's just the styles are different, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that doesn't take away from either person. And I do agree with what you said about like actually meeting someone first and talking to them instead of just jumping in the studio, because just because you're friends with someone doesn't mean you guys are compatible creatively. And that's definitely something I've had to learn over the years, is like friends doesn't equate to like, you know, good creative partners. So sometimes you have to separate the two. That's not really a bad thing. I wanted to talk about something that I noticed you said earlier, was that you guys have fun when you were making music together and listening to Kush Love Effect Volume 1. I could hear like you were having fun in the studio just by your tone of voice in a lot of the songs. And I want to say I added Outside Part 2, Playboy's Prayer, and 21 in my workout playlist. And if you listen to this, I added to it because it's great to work out to, because that shit just gets me in the mood. Like, I have to go super hard right now. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
Yeah, I started working out again recently because I work from home now and I'm at home all the time. So I really decided to get back in the gym. Just get my head right. It's really helped a lot. So thank you for that. And obviously COVID has really hurt live music. Like, it's not really a thing at all right now. I wanted to ask, do you have any plans for this year music wise or just anything in general you want to get done?
Yeah, absolutely. So I have a couple of different projects I have spinning. The recording on one of them is completely done. We just have to mix it. We just kind of came into some kind of COVID related roadblocks.
No, same. I understand.
Yeah, so we're having a mix, and once that's mixed, I'll have a full project ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have another one that I'm working on with Alexander Preston. It's gonna be me and him on the production, me on the songs. We got about 10 or so ideas rolling one. Yeah, so I have quite a bit of music stashed up right now.
Right.
I've also been working. I was able to work with I did the Google Arts and Culture thing, and I was able to meet some really like talented film directors and like also like a good cameraman, like an amazing cameraman. Mm-hmm. And they've worked with a lot of it worked with a lot of different like companies, large companies like Nike, the Olympics, things like that.
Right.
I was able to get in contact with them again. We shot a video to, what was this? It was Playboy's Prayer. Actually.
Oh, nice. I'm excited for that.
We did a Playboy's Prayer video. And I'm super excited about that because, the way it's looking, it looks insane.
Yeah, I'm excited to watch it. That's one of my favorite songs from the project. So I'm really excited for it.
It looks, it's probably one of my favorite things I've ever done creatively that was the first thing. That was the first time, like, I was able to kind of give somebody my vision for how I wanted it to look. Mm-hmm. And then they took my vision and then they fleshed it out to more than I even had in mind.
Wow.
And yeah, it was crazy. And Matt Vega and Andrew, they're incredible. Like I've never worked with anyone as professional as them. Like, I don't know, they took care of everything. All I had to do was show up. Mm-hmm. And the way everything was looking, like, it's still getting edited because it's hard to explain without like giving anything away.
Yeah, I would
describe it more as a short film than a music video. It's a real short film, I think.
Very cool. That says a lot. I think especially with creators making music videos, is a very intimate process. And like you said, it can be kind of hard to like kind of give the reins to someone else and trust them with what you want to get done. Because sometimes what you see in your head and what someone else sees in their head doesn't come out the same. That definitely can be like a very scary thing to kind of give someone the reins. But speaking of videos, like I said earlier, the Faces video is really good. Who did you work with for that one when you made that?
Me and Kendu worked real closely together on that one. Yeah, like I kind of came to him with the idea that I had in my head, and then we kind of worked on, like, because I start with these really grandiose ideas. Honestly, they're always like, oh man, they're huge ideas, but I never have the budget for
right.
it. But that was the one that like I don't know, like Kendu was able to kind of like get it down to a visual level,
right? You kind of break it down more.
Yeah, and it came out great. Like, it was one of the funner videos to shoot. And then I love the way it came out. Like, that's still, to date, probably my best video.
No, yeah, it's really well done for sure.
I can't wait till you guys see this. The Playboy's Prayer video, the budget's a little bit bigger. I ended up, like, self-funding it. You know, got a new job, started making a little bit more money.
Right.
So I was able to do some cool shit with that one. But Faces was... I don't know, that one's always gonna have like a place in my heart.
Definitely.
Because like, just like a kid, and I was like, oh, I want to do this. And we ended up doing it, like, it came out better than I could have thought it would have came out.
Right.
And it was just dope. I was able to work with my friends, and like, yeah, it was fire. All of it was fire. Kendu's the goat.
No, he is, man. He's worked with like everybody in the city, it seems like. So it's like, who hasn't you worked with is almost a question to ask him. And that's something really cool about the city too. Like, not only is the music good, but like some of the best videos I've seen have come from like local artists. And like you said, like not having like a label pay for the budget and stuff, and it's like so impressive to see people here make their own stuff, and like the way it comes out is just crazy. And I could list off a bunch of people here, obviously, that have made amazing videos. So it's really cool to see like people here working with each other instead of trying to like, you know, go above to people that are like way above them and like status and all that. And it's like, there's so much like creative, I guess, freedom here and diversity. It's just really cool to be a part of it. And before we get out of here, do you want to let everyone know where they can find you and when can we expect new music and videos and all of that?
Yeah, absolutely. So you can find me on Twitter and Instagram. I'm not really on it much, either
don't
of
blame
them,
me.
much lately, but Neo_Osho on Twitter, and then Neo Osho all together on Instagram, NEOOSHO. So you can find me on either of them, and all of my links are in my bios to my music and whatnot. I'd prefer people to listen to the music,
right? Yeah,
you know,
read your tweets and stuff.
Yeah, I don't do a lot of lately. I haven't been doing a lot of tweeting because, I mean, there just hasn't been a lot of exciting things.
Right,
happening.
Exactly. No, yeah, social media, man, is just so, like, mentally exhausting. Like, I feel like people are trying to stunt more now than ever because of COVID. And it's just, like,
Yeah. Yeah, niggas is just bored.
Right, I'm just over it.
I think that's what it is. Like, I'm poor too, but I'm just, that's just not really my ministry. I can't really get on social media and be like, oh, I'm doing this and this.
Right,
and that,
it's
that.
Like, nobody cares.
that's what it is. Like, in my, like, nobody cares.
Right, yeah.
Honestly, as far as like new music, music videos, I don't really, it's kind of all tentative at the moment. Because I've kind of been trying to go about it the right way and just kind of contact people who specialize in dropping things and getting traction. Right. So I'm just trying to figure out how to do that myself. But I do, there will be new music videos, music, all of that in 2021.
For sure.
And I definitely plan to up the output because I do have a lot of music in the stash. Mm-hmm. I just need to figure out a good way to like release it.
Yeah, so, like I said, COVID like has really made things hard to kind of navigate, because before we had like live music and everything, that was really helpful for, yeah, you know, smaller artists. So,
and that's another thing, like I miss the thing I miss most about live music is the fact that like, so I, most of my shows, I would try out new songs that haven't been released. Mm-hmm. So I would go on stage, do the songs that nobody heard. I mix them in there with songs that like I've already put out that some other people may know or have heard. Mm-hmm. Just to kind of get a reaction. Like, it was just a good means of comparison with my own discography.
Right. No, that makes 100% sense.
And like, I've really been missing the ability to test my music, right, with real people, you know.
Yeah, and I definitely get that. Yeah,
that's another thing,
right?
It's kind of, yeah.
Yeah, and I think there's so much talent here, and if live music was a thing, like the floodgates for musicians here would be like wide open, because there's so much like talented artists here, and it's like,
yeah,
I really believe over the next like 5 to 10 years, like Kansas City is going to see like a bunch of people really kind of step up into that national, international stage, because yeah, it's just like, I don't know, I feel like there's like a gold mine of artists here and people really haven't tapped in really. There's been obviously a few people here and there, but yeah, I think there's a lot of the roster here is just so deep, and I'm really excited to see what happens over the next few years for sure. But yeah, man, when we get out of here, I really appreciate you talking to me. This interview is definitely years overdue. But absolutely. Yeah, I'm glad we got to do it. I'm really excited to see what you do next, man.
Hey, man, appreciate it. Thank you for taking your time out talking to me.
Of course, I appreciate it, man. You have a good weekend, okay?
You too.
All right.
Peace.
Peace.